Welcome back. Thanks for sticking with us. And you know where else you need to stick with us? Where would that be, Ava?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
Absolutely. And Facebook, like us, please. The funny thing about that interactive site, it is amazing how much information is there. You've got to check it out. TheValleyOutdoors.com. We've got an interactive map there. Lots of other cool stuff. So check it out. Check us out. And you'll be happier when you do.
There's a 99.9% chance that'll happen, that you'll be happier.
It'll put a smile on your face.
Yeah.
When you're scrolling through and have nothing else to do into the abyss.
Got it.
Abyss and black hole that is everyone's phone in the morning before you wake up, or before you're really awake, I should say.
I know.
Or you're parked on the couch.
That is not the ideal way to start your day, but.
No.
Just saying.
No. Mine was my alarm. I forgot this weekend. I had set it from last weekend when I went up to Giant's Ridge skiing. And when I left on Saturday morning, it was a 4:15 wake up call. And somehow it got put across the week and I didn't realize it. And then
that's not fun.
I'm like, wait a minute.
What am I late for?
It's kind of a good thing because then you realize you have two more hours to sleep, so that wasn't such a bad thing.
Yeah,
but well, I didn't even mention it.
Daylight saving is hard too. So
I know.
Gosh, you were really
the
waking up at 3 o'clock
last week up at Giant's Ridge. Pretty amazing place. If you have not been up there, pretty amazing. No matter where you're at in the Midwest, amazing ski hill, but really a cool recreational area, just outside of Bowabic, Minnesota. Not far from the Minnesota, actually the Hockey Hall of Fame is in Virginia, I believe it is, or Eveleth, I believe. And tons of snow. Skiing was great.
Awesome.
They were cross-country skiing out there as well. So multi-sports type things going on up there, but it was a good time. And lots of snow. They'll carry through quite a bit, so it'll be good for sure. So, yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about wolf-related complaints as I went into the break. Out of Virginia, Minnesota, Minnesota wolf complaints have reached a record of 252 calls for wolf conflict management assistance regarding livestock, pets, and citizens. St. Louis County registered the highest number of wolf-related complaints amongst Minnesota's 87 counties. They had 20 verified complaints. They had the most wolves removed by wildlife services of 42. Definitely more and more conflict related to this, says University of Minnesota Extension educator Troy Salzer. The one thing we're seeing is the pack of wolves moves into a community because the deer populations are low and they tend to move through more rapidly. The lambing season and calving season are usually when it happens. But at other times, we're seeing full-size animals being taken when historically it was just calves. And 252 complaints, it's well above the previous 10-year average of 174 requests for assistance, the USDA reported. Most domestic animal-related wolf complaints, as in previous years, related to cattle, dogs, and sheep were the top three. And there were 108 verified wolf killed calves in the state, 13 cows, 11 sheep, 6 dogs, 1 horse, and a partridge in a pear tree. Nope, just checking if you were listening. And 24 other animals between chickens, donkeys, pigs, llamas, bison, rabbits, goats, etc. 12 calves were verified as wolf wounded on top of the dead, along with 1 cow, 3 dogs, and 1 other domestic that was injured as well. You know, when it comes down to this, that you look at where the impacts are happening and if they truly are on the comeback. And to me, it sounds like they're more than on the comeback.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
And so one of those things in this particular case, when you look at across the state, Itasca County had 2 complaints and 3 removed, so on and so on. Aiken County, 25 removed. Carlton County, 33 removed. So these are all wolves that need to be removed from that particular area as they have, shall we say, once they get a taste of a cow, They don't want to go anywhere else. So it's beef. It's what's for dinner, as they say.
Yeah.
In fiscal 2024, the Minnesota Department of Agriculture paid out $187,000 for 145 claims of wolf-related damage to livestock. Although the figures weren't final, the most it's paid out in a single year since 2016, when $253,000 was paid out on 137 wolf claims. To address the issue, the USDA Wildlife Services implemented a variety of non-lethal and lethal measures to reduce the threats and the in the interest of public safety as well. They installed lights, sound devices, non-lethal fences, colored flags, rope, etc. to keep those, I wouldn't say pesky, because they're more than pesky little critters. They're kind of scary when it comes down to it, when they get in a pack.
Yeah, no kidding.
So kind of a challenge, I think, is the way to put it. I think the best way to put it, probably. So let's jump into, I've got to jump down an article here. We're going to talk a little bit about poachers.
Yeah, the smart ones.
The ones you can't fix stupid.
Right.
So you guys, honestly, the stories you see that are actually real that make no sense and you try to figure out how that's even possible. Arrogance combined with social media is the predominant.
Tell me they did not put it on social media.
Oh, no, it's even better. Oh. Okay, arrogance combined with social media is the predominant downfall of many poachers, but now and then a good old-fashioned bragging makes a comeback. In 2023, while flying back to California from the East Coast, a couple attempted to smuggle a federally protected green turtle skull by concealing it within a jacket, another illicit trophy added to their collection. As the plane cruised at altitude, these two people, Byron Lee Fitzpatrick and Shannon Lee Price, struck up a conversation about their spoils. Unaware, the two plainclothes officers were seated in front of them and they were listening. The officers, canine handlers with the Northern Enforcement District of California, were returning from a training in San Diego when they overheard the couple enthusiastically discussing their passion for wildlife. In a stunning display of self-incrimination, these two openly admitted to smuggling the turtle skull, illegally killing a mountain lion, and possessing multiple pieces of taxidermy prohibited under California and federal law. He even went as far as showing the officers a video of their trophy room. Adding to the recklessness, they implicated a close family member, Harry Fitzpatrick, who owns several pieces of illegal taxidermy. When the plane landed, the officers asked to see the turtle skull. Of course, they didn't know they were officers.
Do they have to disclose that or no?
Apparently not. They were basically just plain clothes at the time. Aware of its illegal nature, the couple hesitated, waited until they were out of TSA line sight before they revealed their smuggled contraband.
Just thinking that these people were normal people, cops.
Yep. And that was all the confirmation the officers needed. Upon returning to their patrol districts, the wildlife officers secured search warrants for the couple's home in Chico, California, and the residence of the implicated family member in Napa. They executed the warrants, discovered a couple butchering an illegally harvested deer.
In the process, when they got there,
butchering a deer. According to a press release from the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, the search also revealed mountain lion claws, a ring-tailed cat, a barn owl mount, illegal spike buck, several unlawfully taken deer with tagging violations. The search of Harry Fitzpatrick, the one they implicated the family member, proved just as fruitful.
Oh.
They found two full mountain lion mounts and a taxidermied wolverine, both illegal possessions under California law.
Yeah.
And so here's how it goes. Formal complaints were filed against the accused and plea agreements were reached in all cases. They received $1,800 fine, 1 year probation, prohibiting hunting or being around those engaged in hunting. She, Shannon, received a fine of $1,000 and year probation. Fitzpatrick and Price also received a $1,000 fine for their federal infractions. Harry received a $600 fine, ordered to serve 6 months probation. The case exemplifies unwavering preparedness and swift action demonstrated by our wildlife officers, highlights the broad spectrum of such. And
that seems like such a light sentence. You got a fine and probation.
Yeah.
They didn't spend any jail time.
Well, and so this is the kind of the
and
weird
the fines
part.
Aren't even that much.
It showcase okay, so it says here the showcase example showcases examples of poaching. Like harvesting deer out of the season, it also raises questions about the legality of taxidermy. You walk into any rural bar throughout the Western Mountain West, no joke, it's true. You'll find mounted mountain lions. Of course, some are much newer than others, but cases of illegal taxidermy blur the lines between right and wrong, and it really comes down to those in the particular state that decide whether or not it's a egregious thing or not. And, you know, I haven't looked into the laws in California, but I think they probably followed the law as it was as far as sentencing goes. So now, if it happens again, I think that will be a whole different scenario.
Maybe.
Well, I think it will be.
I hope so.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
On a plane and eat.
What's the craziest taxidermy you've seen in person?
Most horrible?
No, just crazy. Like rare taxidermy that you've seen.
Boy, polar bear.
Oh, that'd be cool.
It was it was amazing. I mean, it was a standing mount.
Oh, of course. You got to have it standing and
yeah,
mad.
And it was a vaulted ceiling, floor to ceiling, fireplace, and of course, I think it was to the right of it. This is—I don't even know how many years ago this was. I don't remember the guy, but he was a pretty avid hunter, and this had to be 12 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
At least it looked like it
mm-hmm.
when I was a kid.
Well, and then they are always on like a podium too, so yep. It makes them even bigger.
Yeah, a little.
For me, in middle school, a friend of mine's dad had gone to Africa for a few hunts. And he had a straight-up jaguar in his living room.
Usually they're in the garage.
Oh, yeah, I know. No, this thing, like, and it's right when you walk in. Which
oh, happy day.
It's right over to the left in the dining room. And pretty cool. Cause
appropriate place.
They had it, you know, like, walking on a log or whatever.
Oh, man.
It was awesome, but so scary. And that thing is huge. I mean, how much do they weigh? Like
200 plus.
That thing was
massive. Oh, they're probably 150 plus, yeah. But they're so powerful.
I know.
One swipe of the claw and
mounted, it made it look really alive too. So it was like in middle school, like, what is happening? And he's like, yeah, my dad.
Maybe it's like night at the museum. At night it comes out and patrols the house.
It might. It just might.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
But anyway. You pay a lot of money for that, too. Holy smokes. One for the hunt.
Oh, I know.
And then get it taxidermied. Ugh.
Well, that's like trying to get fish home. But you go to Alaska, it costs you a fortune to get it home.
I know. Yeah, I wonder how much. I should find out what that man paid.
That'd be interesting.
Back in the early 2000s.
A lot. A lot. We could look it up, but, well, let me, this is a story we didn't originally have on the show that I had planned, and I saw this as a last-minute thing that I thought would be important for us to know, and I'm only going to go into part of it because it's an extensive article, but here's how it goes. What hunters should know about Colorado's first-in-the-nation gun ban. Colorado is poised to become the first state in the nation to ban an entire category of rifles, pistols, and shotguns based solely on their operating systems without regard for cosmetic features like collapsible stocks or pistol grips. Recent amendments in the legislation have created loopholes that would make it easier for hunters to continue to own the now banned types of firearms, and the amendment earned support of Governor Jared Polis of Colorado, passing the Senate on a narrow 19-15 vote. Now it heads to the House of State House of Representatives, where the their supermajority of the Democratic Party all but assures the bill's passage. Sportsmen's groups have decried the legislation as an attack on the Second Amendment rights. Really kind of a questionable thing. Modern sporting rifles and semi-automatic shotguns are really important, and that's what it's going to be banning. It's 80% of conservation funding generated through the Pittman-Robertson Act is part of where the money comes from. And supporters argue the legislation is necessary to prevent mass shootings and refuse to characterize it as a ban.
I'm surprised Colorado is the first state to do that, though.
It surprises me, too, but not because of it's a matter of the leaning of the political rather than the actual sportsman within the state, because there's a lot of out-state people that hunt in Colorado. It sets a dangerous precedent, according to gun rights activists, for similar style of gun control measures moving forward. So this bans semi-automatic rifles and shotguns that can accept detachable magazines and chambered and centerfire ammunition. So that's, unlike other bans, does not create exceptions for semi-automatic rifles or shotguns that do not have certain features associated with air-type rifles, i.e. collapsible stock, pistol grips, muzzle device. It was the most comprehensive ban, gun ban in the nation. It will prohibit purchase of any centerfire, semi-automatic rifle, or shotgun with a detachable magazine, even if it sports a wood stock that makes it look more like a traditional firearm. So we'll finish up that story next week, but that's just to leave you with that happy tidbit for the weekend.
Just something and, to...
Hey, stop down to the Northwest Sports Show, Minneapolis Convention Center. I'll be down there on Sunday. Looking forward to that, seeing you guys. And that is a wrap for the show this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. You and Ava's here, and I am here.
We'll be back next week.
For the Valley Outdoors.
Let's plan on it.
Yeah, absolutely. For the Valley Outdoors, we are here. We're happy to hear you. Out there, please let us know if there's something you want to hear. Speaking of it, and hope you guys all have a great weekend. See you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Have a great day on the water or in the field.